straight off and do it. Look what he did. Verse 20. He says, so David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. This is a bonus point. Don't be stupid about stewardship. So if you're marked, you're going to have an opportunity to go to something new and leave what you had undone. And God's never taking you to your next without you handling your now. He intentionally left the sheep with another shepherd. He intentionally did not mismanage or abuse or not use what he was given. Because, oh, now there's something new coming up. I can go to this next thing. God says, as you go to the next thing, I'm watching how you handled the last thing. And there are too many people in this room that go for bigger and better and leave behind what used to be bigger and better. What you prayed for, that apartment that you're leaving and now moving to your house, did you clean it before you left? Well, they can have my deposit. My only problem with that is God says, do everything you do as unto the Lord. So I got to call some friends over and we got to clean this up and they can still have my deposit. But when they see what my name was on, it's got to be a reflection of his name. And there are too many people that are on to the next without handling what God has called them to do. Is this okay? Is this okay? All right. This side didn't say nothing. They all just looking at me. Okay. So let me tell you, if you're marked, write this down. Your opportunity is wrapped in obedience. So your next step, if you're going to be sent, if you're going to ascend and you're going to be sent, your next thing, your next opportunity, your next big break, your next connection is wrapped in obedience. It won't be wrapped in skill. It won't be wrapped in connections. It won't be wrapped in anything that seems logical, because for David, we know that his next is facing Goliath. But the only way he ever meets Goliath is that he was obedient to take the grilled cheese sandwich to his brothers and the captains. What does the grilled cheese have to do with Goliath? Nothing except obedience. And you've been trying to navigate your steps and make all this stuff happen. And the thing that's the linchpin has nothing to do with what you're asking. God said, I ask you to obey and to serve those people. And you'd be like, that has nothing to do with me getting these worship songs out. He said, you think? That's why they've not come out and you got every connection around you and you in line for the promotion and your kids are ready. And God says, because your next opportunity, I've disguised it in obedience. I need you to see that David was available to obey. The question is, are you available to obey God? I know you're so planned and you're so calculated. My question is that if God asks you to do something, have you left any room to obey what he says? See, because David was available, he was obedient not to do something extravagant. He was obedient to do something normal. I need you to get the gravity of that. Because a lot of people want their obedient step to be something huge. I just moved from Tulsa to Alaska to get this region saved. Okay. If that's what God asked you to do, but I want you to see that David's next opportunity was not wrapped up in a big thing. It was a normal thing that anybody could do, but God asked him to do it. And so his normal obedience, your normal obedience will produce opportunities that you've never even thought of. What are you talking about, normal obedience? When God says, say hi when you walk into the office. Yeah, take your wife on a date every week. Normal obedience. Read that book. Normal obedience. Watch their kids for them. Normal obedience. Cut off the cable. You need to save some money. Normal obedience. Give your your shoes away. Not these shoes. Give them away. Normal obedience. Write that down. I'm giving you a song. I'm going to finish it a year from now. But write that phrase down. Normal obedience. Buy their meal. Well, they got money. They got in the line. It don't matter what I ask them to do. I ask you to do. Be normal and obedient. Stop and pray for them. Normal obedience. My man, come here. Yeah, come here. What's your name? Move like you want it. Charles, move like you want it. Charles, I'm glad you're here, bro. I'm going to ask you to be like normally obedient. I'm going to say something. I need you to do it, okay? Take a step back. Okay? Take a step to your right. Step up on this side thing. Jump up and down. Got some hops. I see you, okay? Hey, go by that guitar right there. Yeah. Do you play guitar? You play the drums and the keys. Can you pick up the guitar, though? Can you put the guitar down? Can you go on the drums, please, for me? Sit like you know what you're doing. Hey, can you pick up that gift that's on the kick pedal? Can you come back up here? Can you stand next to me? Can you unwrap that gift quickly? Can you tell everybody what those are? Wireless Power Beats earphones, okay? He didn't know when he got up here what I had for him. I knew what I had for him. But it was his normal obedience to do what didn't make sense that produced for him something that he didn't have. I need you to hear me. It's not going to be the extravagant, but it's going to be the normal obedience that's going to get God what he has for you. Somebody give God some praise. Love you, bro. So let me give you the point. Normal obedience creates incredible opportunities. If you would just do the normal things, God said, wake up and read your Bible. And just pray. Give me 10 minutes before you start your day. Normal. Hey, every time you get that paycheck, just return 10% of it to me. And if I tell you, give to that family, give to that organization. Just do it. I know what I have for you. But until you get comfortable with normal obedience, I can't give you these incredible opportunities I've called you to. Let me tell you a story that played out in my life. Some of you know this, but when I was, it was probably 2 years ago, that my friend Paul Doherty up the street at Victory, he had a conference, and Stephen Furtick was coming to this conference. And I called Paul. I was like, hey, bro, I know Word Explosion or Victory Conference is going to be packed. He's like, bro, I want to come. Can you save me a seat? He was like, yeah, bro. Steve Furtick's going to be here, bro. I'm going to sit you right up there with him, bro. It's going to be awesome. Paul's my guy. And so I'm there. And as I'm walking into the building, the Holy Spirit said, don't meet Stephen Furtick tonight. I was like, I mean, if the opportunity is right and God, you create things. And I mean, clearly, he said, do not meet him tonight. I was like, all right. And so I'm thinking, like, that's going to be easy. This is a 5,000-seat auditorium. They sit me right behind Stephen Furtick. Stephen Furtick, Michael Todd. And then Paul gets up and says, hey, turn around and greet your neighbor. Now, I had an opportunity right here to forfeit normal obedience. And at that moment, I turned around and I met a woman named Sally. And that night, I didn't meet him. This was August 2017. I left and I got in my car and the Holy Spirit said, thank you for obeying me. I said, that sucked. But it doesn't have to feel good for you to do it. That was August. In October, I'm studying at my little study spot. And I get a phone call from somebody from North Carolina. And I'm like, hello? And it was like, yeah, I thought I got your number at Inside Elevation, which is a conference they hold at that church. And she was like, but I need your number. Pastor Stephen's trying to get in contact with you. I said, they must have some other Stephens at that church. And she said, give me your number. I sent her my number. And 5 minutes later, I got a minute and 41 second long voice note from Stephen Furtick. And he said, hey, man, I know this might sound strange, but I was looking for my sermon on YouTube. And yours was the next one. And I watched it. And I don't know who you are, but man, you're phenomenal. You just blessed my life. And he goes on for a minute and 41 seconds about how he know me. He said, the last thing he says, he said, man, you're doing a great job. I hope that we can meet one day. And God took me from being another fangirl. I would have just been another, oh my God, Stephen, you blessed me. Like, I would have been that. To because I was normal obedient. Not extraordinary obedience, normal obedience. To where this man called me. And after he called me, he invited me to do all his weekend services the weekend after Easter. And that's where I first preached Mark to the world. And it went viral. But all of that did not come because of my gifting. It didn't come because of my connections. It came because of normal obedience. I'm just asking y'all. Maybe what God wants to do next is not wrapped up in something huge. It's wrapped up in something small. Your ascent is going to happen when God sends you. But he's got to trust that you are going to be obedient where you are. And let me give you my last point. Obedience doesn't require details. Most of us will never be obedient because God has not given enough information. I'll do it, God, but tell me some more. You said, do what? That's dumb. Give me a reason. And what you're doing is you're delaying what God has for you. I give you two examples. Some listening to me need to be sent to go somewhere else or do something else, and you're afraid right now because God's not giving you enough details. But in Genesis 12:1, he talks to Abraham, and he says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. Leave everything that's comfortable and go to the land. Okay, which land? The one that I will show you. I'm not showing you till you move. What happens when God says, when you move, I move? Just like that. I think that was Prophet Ludacris who said that. That some of y'all are waiting on God, and God's saying, move. And he said, when you move, I'll show you where you're going. And for some of us, we won't obey until we got more details. But you do not need details to obey God. Now let me flip it to the other side. Because details are determined by God. But the disclosure of those details are determined by obedience. That's good. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to look at it because I don't forget. The details are determined only by God. But the disclosure of those details, like when he tells you, when he lets it out, is determined by your obedience. The more obedient you are, the more instructions you get. The more obedient you are, the more clarity you get. The more obedient you are, the more people come into the situation that are going to help you. But many of you are standing at the starting line, asking God to show you the finish line. And he says, I'm either going to show you the next step and not the mountaintop, or I'm going to show you the mountaintop and not the next step. Because I want you to trust me. And so some of you need to be sent, but the others of you need to stay where you are and wait to be sent for. Because you know that was Saul's problem. When he was supposed to wait on Samuel to offer this burnt sacrifice, and you can go check it out in 1 Samuel 13, but he was supposed to wait for him 7 days. It hit right 12:01. He was like, where in the world is Samuel? He didn't come right when he said. And the day was wasn't over yet, because God's made some of you promises and the day is not over yet. But you're getting so frustrated and anxious that you're about to make a dumb decision because you feel like it's supposed to be further along. And he said, wait on me. At the moment that Saul said, never mind, God's not going to show up. Samuel's not going to do what he said he was going to do. Verse 9, he said, so he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. And again, I ask you, what are you doing yourself that God's saying, no, just wait on me. I'll send for you. I'll send people to you. I'll make it happen. But you got to wait on me. That's why I'm just encouraging everybody right now. Proverbs 16:9. It says, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. What I'm saying is it's better for you to wait on God, because this whole thing of needing to know all the details, I'm going to tell you why he didn't give you all the details. Because he wants a relationship of dependence. God doesn't want you to do anything without him. And I know the human nature is to be able to do everything without God. Y'all know that was Eve's problem. She thought that she would be able to know what God knew. And he left one thing out so that we would have to be codependent on each other. And a lot of people in here, you've been trying to. You only use God when you need him. And you've been trying to etch him out of your life. That means if I got enough money, if my relationships are this, if my kids are this. And God's saying, like, why don't you just do this with me? And that's why he doesn't show you everything. That's why you're still, some of y'all are like, why am I in Tulsa? Came here 15 years ago and I cannot leave. He said, because the next step, I'll send for you or you'll be sent. And that's why we have to know this last thing. When that end of that verse says, we plan the way that we want to live, but only God makes us, everybody say able. He's the only one that can make us able to live it. So the last thing I want to tell you, if you're in that valley of decision, about to move and you need to stay, or you've been paralyzed and you need to move, God is depend able. He's dependable. You can trust him. You can trust he's not playing you. You can trust that he'll send for you when it's time. You can trust that he'll send you when it's time. So what do you have to do? Do the last thing he told you to do and spend time in the presence of God. David goes, takes the grilled cheese sandwiches, sees Goliath, and we'll talk about all that next week. You don't want to miss next week. It's going to be nasty. But I want you to see how David didn't even choose himself to go fight Goliath. He literally asked the question in 1 Samuel 17. He was like, y'all, what happens if we beat this fool? That's all he asked. He's like, listen, you get one of the king's daughters, you get paid, and you never have to pay taxes again. Now, I would take a swing at it. And he was like, for real? And so he asked somebody else, he was like, what do we get if we take out this uncircumcised Philistine? And look what it says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 31. It says, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul. He never went up to Saul and said, hey, I'm your guy. I'm going to kill him. He was just in the right spot at the right time. And what he was saying was overheard and reported to Saul. And look what it says. And the king sent for him. I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to make a way for yourself when the way maker is on your side. Oh, somebody needs to get excited about that. You do not have to make a way for yourself when Jehovah Jireh, the way maker, is on your side. Father, let every person today get a conviction to not try to ascend without you. God, let us be sent to and sent from. for. No matter where we are in our lives today, Father, I'm not asking who needs this because all of us need it. And I thank you because we are marked. We will not forfeit the plan you have for us because we know our next opportunity is wrapped in obedience. Let this word sit in our heart, Father God, and come out in practical application with normal obedience this week. We thank you, Father, for doing a work in us because we will reach purpose because we are marked. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap of praise. If you know you're marked by God.